welcome to
You Haven't Seen.
I'm Debbie.
And I'm Ashley.
And this is a podcast where we watch movies that everyone has seen but us, and then we talk about them. Today, we are going to watch American Werewolf in London, because I have not seen it. We're continuing with our October theme.
True, it is Halloween this month, in case you didn't know. So, all of our movies this month will be pumpkin spice themed.
Like,
or horror themes.
But it's not horror, it's just, like, Halloween-y, it's festive.
Festive. Sure. But I would say the movie we're about to see today is a horror film.
Yes.
So, I have seen this.
I have not.
I actually saw this just recently, like, last year. So, I'm relatively new to this one, as well.
Oh, okay.
I haven't sat on it for, like, 10 years. I've just seen it.
You just saw it, the first time you've seen it was a year ago.
Sure.
Okay.
Don't quote me on that, though.
Oh, well, but, okay.
I don't know the exact date.
All right. I know almost nothing about this film. I know that Edgar Wright likes it, the Empire podcast, and just in general, also a fan. I just recently found out, like 5 minutes ago, found out that the bar of it is in New York City.
And the Slaughtered Lamb is in the village, which is the pub that they go to in the movie at the beginning.
And so now I'm very excited.
So we get to go to a tourist trap.
Yes. You're going to love it. I'm going to love it. I'll love it enough for the both of us. And what else do I know? I know that the transformation scene still holds up.
I think it does. I think it's still scary. It's still terrifying.
I know that was the big deal of it when it came out, was the transformation stuff, because that's all I know. That is all I know.
Well,
I know the plot line now, because I just read it on IMDb. I know the two American... Okay, fine.
You shouldn't know that. So, An American Werewolf in London came out in 1981, which is probably, you haven't seen it.
Yeah, this was 10 years before I was born, so...
So it came out in 81. It's directed by John Landis, written by John Landis, mm-hmm. who did, like, all the great comedies. Like...
All of them. Not a comedy. That's
so, great. Like, all of the... The Blues Brothers.
Oh, God, I love the Blues Brothers. He did Animal Twilight House, Zone.
Twilight Zone he did. Coming to America. Like, all the big ones. So, I mean, I love John Landis. Mm-hmm. I think he's a really good director, and I'm a huge fan.
He was also, I'm looking at his IMDb profile, he has an acting credit in Attack of the 50-Foot Cheerleader. So, stay tuned.
And his son, Max Landis, wrote Chronicle.
Oh, he's in Psychoville.
He is.
Who is he in Psychoville?
John Landis.
Oh my God.
Shockingly, they got John Landis for the part of John Landis.
That's fantastic.
So I'm a huge John Landis fan, which is why I saw An American Werewolf in London.
I am a fan, and I just didn't know that he did all of the things he did.
Right.
But I was looking through his IMDb pro on literally everything. I'm like, oh, another thing that I love. Look at that.
And Rick Baker, who's one of the greatest makeup artists, did the transformation for us. So, I mean, like, all those guys, like, I love everything about this. The reason that I saw it so late, that I only saw it last year, was because I thought it was a real horror film. Like, because I'm a chicken, I thought it was going to be, like, really, really scary.
But it's not...
I didn't think it was.
Okay.
But I
also... At the time, it was a horror film?
I think so. I think in the right setting, it could be a horror film.
I mean,
the
genre is horror.
Right.
Okay.
I mean, I think it's a horror film. This isn't, like... It's not... I can't do horror films where they're, like... jumpy. I can't do Saw. Like, I can't watch Saw. Okay. I can't do the torture porn ones. Because I just don't like those. Or, like, the Freddy versus Jason.
Okay, never mind. I won't get into that.
I personally don't like those.
Because I can do... I can't do stuff like The Grudge. I can't do... I can't do, like, the crazy supernatural stuff. Where it's like, oh, this house is haunted. Nope. I can do werewolves... I can do, like, a tangible monster or a crazy person.
Yeah.
I can't do the ooh stuff where it's, like, you don't know.
Yeah.
You can't punch a thing.
Crazy people I have problems with, and vampires. My vampire thing, it's a whole nother story.
Okay.
It's a deep-rooted psychological fear.
Okay. All right.
So,
But that's great, because this is werewolves. So right. Everyone here can do werewolves.
Yeah, so that's why I hadn't seen it. But now I've seen it, and I really enjoyed it, and I really liked it.
This has been on my... because I have just, like, a personal list.
Yeah.
This has been on the personal list for a while. It is because of a lot of people whose work I admire have spoken about how they love this film. So... It's been on the list. Just haven't gotten around to it. Because also, we're watching it. It's on Amazon Prime.
Yeah, it's on Amazon Instant. Which
is your account. And I do not have Amazon Instant. So that is also where it's like, because it's not on Netflix, and I don't have that. So just haven't gotten around to it.
So I think we should go ahead and get started.
Okay.
But before we go, I just want to say what the tagline is for this film.
Oh, God.
John Landis, the director of Animal House, brings you a different kind of animal. Which I love.
Shut up. That's so lame. A different kind of animal. What year did Animal House come out in? I've seen that.
Animal House was 16.
Because actually, I watch Animal House with my parents, and we watch it with our younger sisters, and mom and dad are sitting there. And they just kind of turn to each other and go, I don't remember it being quite this bad.
I have seen Animal House more times than I care to admit. I love it. It's my favorite.
It's funny.
So we're about to see a different kind of animal.
Ooh.
Which I feel like if we're gonna, I don't know if you can get a different kind of animal after Bluto. What?
Oh.
John Belushi.
Yeah.
You
know me and names. Don't just throw a nickname out willy-nilly. I won't get it.
But yeah, so let's go ahead and get started.
Woo! Oh, hi, we're back.
Hi, welcome back. So we just got done watching An American Werewolf in London.
I love this movie. I thought it was funny. I thought it was funny. Also, and I will say this later, the prosthetics in this were so cool. Every time that Jack came back, I'm like, I just wrote down, Jack looks awesome. Like, that was so cool. And how he just kept falling apart, even though when they were in the porno theater... I'm like, okay, that's kind of obviously just a skeleton with wah, wah, wah.
We'll get to that.
Okay, we'll get to that.
But I
liked it. Bottom line, Debbie approved.
All right, so this gets the Debbie stamp of approval.
I need to make a stamp. I found a place where you can make custom stamps.
Oh, good.
Yes, I was just going to say, Debbie's approval.
All right, so we will now be going to the Slaughtered Lamb. After this podcast airs.
And I'll bring my stamp and go to the bathroom and then stamp the wall.
Oh my gosh. Or not. So, Debbie liked the movie. So this movie won the best makeup.
Good. Which,
but the best makeup category in the Oscars was established in 1981.
Oh, for this movie.
Basically.
That's awesome.
But I mean, there were other nominees.
Yeah, but they were like,
I think, oh. Right, like this really
hey, we want to give it to this movie, so best come up with the category then was basically how it went down.
Right.
Okay.
Because it was just it was too good to not, like.
Good. Oh, all songs in this film have the word moon in their titles? That's cool. Sorry, I'm on the IMDb page. I'll get off.
Alright, so, we'll start with Blue Moon, which
apparently
sets us in.
All of the songs in this film had the word moon in their titles.
Not apparently, they do.
They did. Well, apparently, because I just found that out. But there were some good tunes in this song. Every song that came on, I just thought,
you didn't get that they all have moon?
I don't know titles of songs.
But they said moon in the lyrics.
I wasn't listening to it. I wasn't listening to it as an, oh, hey, moon again. I just, every song that came on, I thought, oh, this is a good one too.
I really hope there's a list of like, moon over my head. Oh no. Moon's over. No. How? Just a list of all song titles with moon.
With
and
moon.
They're just like sitting in the editing bay.
Like, little X's and O's and like one with the maybe written by it.
Blue Moon's really good.
The thing
I like
is, you
this
know
one.
That list exists somewhere.
Oh, it has to.
Because to do this, they had to make a list. Also, I was surprised just because I was like, part of what determined what songs they could put in was probably what they got the royalties to.
Mm-hmm.
But somehow they were able to put Mickey in. I was just surprised by how much blatant brands there were in this film. And then the Mickey surprised me, because Mickey got a close-up. So, should we just go oh my god, I wrote down so much notes for this one. Okay.
Settle in, guys. It's gonna be a long one now that it's got Debbie's stamp of approval. I, personally, I kind of forgot to take notes because I was eating dinner. But I also have seen this movie, so I was like, I'm okay.
I just thought this movie was really funny, so a lot of this is just being like, okay, example, I have, bet you they don't stay on the road, written down, because I'll,
like, so, what did you think of the beginning? Because the problem I have with Alien was because,
it was a slow beginning.
Right.
Whereas, the difference was, Alien I was fine with because I thought it was incredibly suspenseful. This I did not.
Right. Yeah.
Alien, no, sorry. If you'll remember in Alien, I saw a page flutter, and so I thought the entire opening credits that the alien was already loose on the spaceship and was gonna jump out and surprise me.
Right.
So, for the entire beginning of Alien, I was sitting and waiting for the boo.
Right.
This I did not think so. Well, first of all, it threw me off at the opening stuff with all the logos.
Mm-hmm.
That bit usually has sound. And so that threw me off, and then so when the sound finally did come, I was looking at it, and I just thought, well, gosh, England's beautiful. And then, oh, I wish that these credits weren't so long, was what I thought of the beginning. And then also, people don't just generally backpack across like that now and hitch rides with strangers and stuff, but did anyone actually backpack like that? That seems awfully dangerous to me. This is what I was thinking during the first scene of the movie. You asked, so you brought this upon yourself.
Yeah, I think that's how people did it. That's how I would do it. I know a lot of, like, my older friends, a lot of actors I know, just, like, got a backpack and was like, all right, 3 months, go. I think that's so cool.
No. Just, and then go out with no planning whatsoever?
People absolutely do that now. Not.
No. I mean, I know they do, but that just seems... I would never... No. Okay. Regardless. Different life decisions. I was excited that there was a character here named Debbie, even though apparently she's a big ol' slut. I was still excited.
She wasn't a slut. She was dull.
She was so upset at Jack's funeral that she slept with another guy.
That doesn't make her a slut. She was dull. And rude.
But there was nothing dull about her body. Nope. And I was like, heck yes! Yeah, that's all I thought of the opening thing. That's all of my notes for that. I did like the Heathcliff reference.
Mm-hmm.
When they were walking across the moors.
Heathcliff doesn't howl?
Yeah. It's like very nice, Wuthering Heights. And I actually have a question about werewolves. If the moon is hidden by clouds, do they still turn into a werewolf?
Yeah, it has to be a full moon.
Yeah. But I was just... Because there was all the shots where you just saw the clouds revealing the full moon.
I think that's just...
Okay, I thought that was just to make sure that everyone knows that it's a full moon, but that was a genuine question about werewolf lore.
I mean, I think so. I feel like it's like vampire lore, you know? It's okay. Like whatever the most popular movie is at the time gets to make the rules.
So even if the moon was behind the clouds, it would still...
Traditionally, I
would think so.
But I haven't read Wolfman, the book.
I have not either. Okay. Well,
so I don't know the traditional rules.
Next up on the reading list.
For werewolves are not in my...
traditional rules.
Ouvoir.
Yeah. I do know more about vampires. I've read Dracula. Okay. Let's get back on track here.
So, just a bit of trivia. If you'll notice, there's a young Rick Mayall in the pub.
Rick Mayall?
He's a young one. He is... in Harry Potter.
Who was he in Harry Potter?
I can't remember.
Good lord.
I think he's one of the ghosts. Oh, he's Peeves, but Peeves isn't in the movie.
Aww. I know he wasn't.
My friend Fred, or...
No, what's his name? Rick Mayall. There he is.
He's a young one.
Oh, but... he is Peeves. Oh, look at that. His first credit is American Werewolf in London.
Yeah.
So...
So he's in the pub, which is a big one. I mean, John Landis is really good at recognizing comedians, which is why there's a lot of comedians in supporting roles.
It was funny.
Yeah, you thought it was funny?
I did think it was funny. Well, because it was just so obvious, like, later on when they're in the bedroom. Oh, there's only one bed. You heard me. Just go, ugh. Like, I was just like, oh my gosh. Just everything goes, oh my gosh. Wonder what's going to happen next. Stay on the roads? Bet they're not going to stay on the roads. Like, everything was just, and I kept kind of just forgetting that this is the man who gave us Animal House. It's not going to be an incredibly serious and, suspenseful movie.
Mm-hmm.
But I just, I don't know, for some reason, I just kept forgetting that it's kind of comedy.
That's good, though. I think that's what it's meant to be. It's not meant to be laugh out loud, like, riotous comedy.
But I did a couple of times, but...
Right.
I
but I feel like the moments of comedy help break up the horror.
They did. Because, oh my goodness, his transformation just looked excruciating.
Yeah. No, that was absolutely amazing acting.
That was awesome. And just, like, when his hands, just the, when they show just the shots of his bones stretching, like, oh my gosh, that looked painful.
Yeah, I'd say that's one of the best werewolf transformations, because it's actually like your bones would have to break
and then when reform. His face just chunked forward. Oh, that was awesome.
And that's like I don't even think there's CGI. I think that's all real.
Yeah.
And that's amazing.
That's awesome.
Like,
I thought that was so cool. I thought the transformation was so awesome. I thought every time you saw Jack again, he just looked so cool. And the first time that Jack appears in the hospital room, a couple of places, the focus was on his neck, on his wounds, and then his face was out of focus. I was just thought, that is so cool. He looks awesome.
Yeah.
Oh my gosh. Oh, this looks so cool.
No, I mean, just focusing on the makeup throughout the movie, I think when Jack decomposes, I mean, he decomposes at an alarming rate.
Yes. Very quickly.
But I feel like that was needed to show... Yeah. Jack kind of...
He's been dead for 3 weeks the first time we see him.
Mm-hmm.
So, he would be pretty far gone, but you're right. Once we see him at 3 weeks, he would not look like that. Yeah, never mind. Don't know. Never mind.
But I feel like that Jack symbolizes, like, the deeper down the rabbit hole that David gets. And then when he's in the cinema and he's the skeleton.
Yeah.
I mean, it's obviously, like, the Tales from the Crypt Keeper, you know, like, fata, fata, fata. But then they do, like, the itching of the nose, where it was just, like, adding in the human characteristics.
It kind of seems like some shots when it wasn't a close-up on his face, that was actually the actor in makeup.
Yeah, I think it was a good use of practical and...
It was so cool. You could see all the way to the bottom of his teeth. Ugh. Loved it.
Rick Baker, I mean, is one of the best special effects guys working.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I did know that.
It shows because his makeup is so...
It was so cool.
It's so cool, and it tells the story. It's not additional. Like, it helps show how, like, just hurtful and in pain David is.
And I liked his little visions, because, I mean, the first time when he's running naked through the woods, I... have written down naked ballet because he was just incredibly graceful leaping over all those logs and stuff. But then I was not expecting when the monsters came in and shot up his entire family. I was just not expecting that. And I just thought it was awesome. Because, I mean, cause you get just the first one is him, you know, leaping through the woods naked. And the next one he does where he has a really cool
teeth in the hospital bed.
Yeah, he eats the deer.
So and there's still violence.
There's still violence, but it just escalated so quickly that I was just not expecting that. I just thought, this is great, because I just was not expecting the visions to that strongly symbolize his descent into madness. And I just thought, wow, this is awesome.
Yeah, I love that the Muppets on the TV foreshadow it, because they're like, you call this
violence?
You call this art violence?
Never written down.
Yeah. And then it's like, I feel like that clip then tells the story throughout the movie about whether or not all of this violence is actually a movie.
Yeah.
I mean, this movie.
I wrote that quote down, and then for some reason was not expecting violence to immediately follow that quote, but which in hindsight seems a little foolish, but whatever.
But no, I feel like that this movie raises a serious question about, like, sex and violence in movies.
Yeah.
And how it's, like, how it affects, like, what, to what extent does it affect?
Mm-hmm.
Can it be art?
I thought, because the whole shower, like, sex thing, that was just kind of...
It was boring.
It was boring, and it was obviously gratuitous. I felt it was kind of drawn out.
Oh, no, it was 10 minutes too long.
Yeah.
But you can point out that, I mean, if you want to get, like, devil's advocate about it, you could say that it symbolizes him as a werewolf eating flesh.
Yes.
Because it's like he,
yeah,
like, goes down on her.
Yeah, I did.
They bite. I did think
about that, because I just thought it was an interesting to compare it to the final showdown taking place in the porno theater, which featured the funniest porno I have ever seen.
That was the first thing they shot for the movie. John Landis shot it. See you next Wednesday.
It's really funny. But I just thought, because I thought that just the movie theater provided a really cool backdrop, and just it's interesting to think about, okay, you know, if we're going to show a werewolf ripping people apart, what would we show in the background? And I just kind of really liked that this isn't to show a porno. I just, when the policeman was walking up the aisle, I just kind of thought, yeah, this fits.
And also,
this movie. This is great.
Right. And it solves the practicality point of, you don't want bright lights.
No.
Like, you don't want to see this monster at all.
And the
few times that you did, you're like, oh.
Like, they do all of the things where they say, don't do this. And then everyone in the audience goes, okay, don't do that. And then they go do it. I just felt like throughout the entire movie, you just kind of knew, don't do the stupid thing. Watch as a character does a stupid thing. Just was kind of...
Do you think that was done on purpose?
I think it was done on purpose. And I think it was great that they did it that way. I thought that each time they did it, it was a conscious decision. Where it's like, okay, we're going to tell them not to do it, and then they're going to do it.
Mm-hmm.
Whereas in a lot of horror films, I think it's just kind of not done with an intent.
Mm-hmm.
I feel like they do it, like, oh yeah, then they'll do it, it'll be really funny. Like, no, this... I thought it was not done... I don't know what I'm trying to say here. Where it's like, I feel like in some horror films, it's like, oh, you know, we're going to tell them what to do and then they do it anyway. Where I felt this was trying to make a point of it. I just can't find the words to describe what that point may be.
Mm-hmm.
Just because so many of my notes are like commenting upon that. Okay. The little crap of a kid.
The kid who says no all the time.
Yeah, the kid who says no all the time.
Any just, particular...
I would just...
Oh, we're just mentioning... the kid that says no all the time.
That's a lot
Debbie's doesn't get the stamp of approval to the kid that says no all the time.
No, a lot of the characters in this movie I really didn't like.
Mm-hmm.
I just saw it, that they were just... I thought that nurse was incredibly annoying. I thought the little kid in the hospital who says no all
Alex?
The time. Yeah.
Why did you think she was annoying?
The whole feeding him thing...
Mm-hmm.
Kind of really put me off. I just thought that was super creepy. I think the whole, instead of like the, oh, you know, daddy type of sexual relationship, it's like the, oh, mommy type of sexual relationship. And I think both of them are just super creepy.
Mm-hmm.
So I was just very much not for those two characters getting together. So first of all, I just, at the very beginning when, David and Jack are talking to each other, just did not like David, was really hoping... that David was the one who died, and then he didn't. So I was like, well, I guess we're stuck with David. So I didn't like him. And then I just wasn't a really big fan of the nurse, because I just think that whole, like, oh, I'm gonna, you know, feed you, and then we're gonna bone later. I think that's really creepy whenever... Do you get what I'm trying to say? Because I feel like you don't.
I do. I just thought, I viewed the feeding thing as more of... She has to do her job, which is also why I admired her when he kissed her. When he was like, I'm so scared, I'm going to kiss you. Like, she didn't freak out.
Yeah.
Because, she can't. Like, as a nurse, like,
you
can't punch a guy who's obviously having trouble. So, I think if she wasn't a nurse, I do still think it was weird, but at the same time, I thought it was kind of... both of them, like, she hurt him. Like,
yeah.
she... she's the one that asserted her dominance first, being like, if you don't eat this, I'm gonna have to feed you.
Yeah, I just...
And, I mean, she could have gotten an IV bag and, like, stuck it full of fluids, but...
She'd have to spoon-feed him.
Right, but at the same time, you know...
I just thought it was creepy that she was just treating him like we just saw her treat the children, and then she takes him home and sleeps with him. I just thought it was kind of creepy.
I think she's an independent woman. She's had 7 lovers, and 3 have been women's hands.
Yeah, okay.
And I love that.
When she starts babbling that, I just wrote... What is happening? Because, there's only one bed. And then she starts spilling out her entire sexual history. And I just thought, what is happening? I know what's happening. They're gonna bone. But what is, I don't know. I just didn't like that relationship. I did like, the sassy doctor, though.
Yep. Dr. Hirsch.
Him. Yes, Dr. Hirsch.
I don't know, I spent the entire movie, and I'm still not 100% sure if he's good or bad. If he does know something about werewolves, know something about international,
no,
or supernatural.
I couldn't figure that out either.
But I like that you don't know.
Yeah.
And that he goes to Proctor, and
I did that. I liked him. I like that you couldn't tell.
Yeah.
I like the... fancy a chat in the churchyard, but I just thought that was funny because he's just so blasé about it all.
Mm-hmm.
Where he sees the creep guy waiting for him in the graveyard, he just takes everything just so much in stride. I just kind of liked it. He's funny too, calling that redhead nurse out.
Yeah,
he goes straight to her to ask about the other nurse because he knows she's a gossip. Like,
Debbie's stamp of approval.
Debbie's
for Dr.
stamp
Hirsch.
Of approval on Dr. Hirsch.
We covered the transformation. It was amazing. The famous tube scene is one of the most iconic scenes in this film, I think, is killing of the commuter.
But I thought that shot was really cool. Oh, they just followed him up the escalator. Because at first I thought, why is he taking that one? Because he had to walk out of his way to take the left-hand escalator. And then I... got it and thought, well, this is a really cool shot. That's why he took the left-hand escalator.
I also think it was habit. Like, if you're going home every day...
I guess it's true.
You take the same one, even if it's out of the way. Like,
I was confused what machine he was buying stuff from down in the tube.
It's just a vending machine.
Okay. Well, because...
he had a Bic-A.
At first, I thought, oh, it's a cigarette machine.
Mm-hmm.
But it wasn't, because then he ate whatever he bought.
Yeah,
I was just
very went off work late, got a biscuit.
Yep.
But no, I love it. I love that the really posh guy dies.
Yeah.
I thought that was funny. Like,
that was funny, too.
You want to be like,
Nope. I thought it was the whole exchange between Sean and his girlfriend. And no, Henry or Harry.
Harry. Fucking hell, Harry.
You're gonna die, Harry. Now Sean's gonna die. I just thought it was so funny, and then how he was carrying the drink with him the entire time. That was great.
Like, he has to, the wife makes him go check on things.
Yeah. Is that you? Nope. It's just his hand. Don't worry. Also, a junkyard by Tower Bridge. Do you know if that neighborhood used to be kind of the ghetto?
Oh, I don't. I have no idea.
I don't know. But I don't know. That's another look up later. Then I just have cool cut, cool shot, cool written down. Because the cool cut was when he jumped out in the werewolf and then snarled and it just kind of cut right into the train going zoom.
Mm-hmm.
The cool shot is the commuter death, and then I think I generally just approve of the rampage he went on.
Apparently.
Yep. And then he wakes up in the zoo. When I thought... all the animals were just kind of remarkably okay with that.
Well, he is an animal himself.
That's true. I thought the whole conversation with the little kid with the balloons was funny. Because he goes, hey, kid, come over here. No, you're a talking bush. He's not going to come and talk to you.
Right.
But apparently his price is £2. So that's good to know. That's only like $5.
Yeah. Even less so back then.
Yeah.
Oh, I thought there were some remarkable line readings in this movie, and the naked American man stole my balloons.
Yeah.
Might live in infamy.
I wrote, first world problems for that one.
Like, just that kid.
Oh my gosh.
We need you to say this.
There was a lot of questionable child actors in this one, I felt.
They're always... I've never like seen a good child actor.
The bed. Whose friend's kid was that?
That kid was cute, though. Just, no.
Ah, but I hated that kid.
Again, you didn't like him.
Nope. I thought it was weird that he was just gonna kill himself in the phone booth when he was calling his little sister. And where did he get the pocket knife?
Well.
Yeah.
I think he got the pocket knife from his backpack.
Oh, that's true. They were backpacking.
Right. Like, okay. You know, everything has to be in the backpack.
The Jansport backpack.
Yes. I think he wanted to kill himself.
Yeah,
like,
that makes sense. Just was a little taken aback. Like, oh, wow, just right in the phone booth. Okay.
A true civilized American would kill themselves on the street corner?
I don't know. Do you want any privacy? Yeah. I don't know.
True. But you also want to be found quick.
That's true.
Like, if you do it in a phone booth, and I think by doing it in the phone booth, there would be a chance of someone coming in.
That's
to
true.
To save him.
Yeah.
Like, he was having troubles, like, actually, like, putting,
yeah.
You know, so I think it's a little bit of, like, well, if we do it in a little bit of a public place.
You know, I tried, so, okay.
Right.
Yeah. I thought just, that kind of leads into the conversation of all his victims in the porno theater.
Mm-hmm.
Just very enthusiastically suggesting ways in which he could kill himself.
I love Harry.
Yeah.
Harry and his fiance are like 100% like,
they are so happy. Cheerful about
so
it.
So happy. They're cool.
I couldn't decide whether I thought it was funny or disturbing, that bit. Because it was kind of both, and then just the fact that they're all watching a porno while they're talking about this. I just...
Technically, it was softcore.
That's true.
So...
the juxtaposition of everything I just thought was amazing. Because I thought that, okay, this conversation could very easily be very offensive.
Mm-hmm.
But the fact that it was taking place with the porno in the background just... made it not offensive, which I guess is maybe why he chose to have a porno in the background.
They canceled each other out.
Yeah, just because...
too offensive.
Nothing
to make it right.
Anyone was saying could be, I guess, more offensive than the fact that, well, why are you mad at that? There's porn. Like, so maybe that's why. I liked it.
I don't particularly find that scene, like, offensive. Because he has to die. Like, it's more offensive
yeah.
that he's still alive.
I didn't find it offensive. I'm just saying that I'm sure a lot of people did.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Just...
no, I could see that.
Or maybe they were... I think that the fact that there was a porno playing in the background was to counteract the fear that people would find that conversation offensive.
Yeah. No, I think that... and it raises a question that every single person could have stopped this... incredible
yeah.
scene of violence, which is every single person made one thing, except
yep.
the hobos, the bums.
Yeah,
they were just there.
Yeah. Wrong place, wrong time.
And they let the dog off.
Yep.
The lead. But everyone else, like, the commuter guy, there was a sign that said way out.
Yep.
He could have gone straight. He turned.
Yep.
Harry and his fiance.
Let's go around the back
right.
and surprise him. Nope.
And Jack and David both could have... stayed on the path, could have, like, everything
yep.
could have been, it. All it took was one thing.
Which then made me just wonder, stay on the roads, so would they have been safe on the roads?
No.
Yeah, right?
I think it would have been easier to get to them. Like,
it would be easier for who to get to them?
If the villagers went. And I
oh,
think maybe,
okay.
like, the werewolf in the moor,
mm-hmm.
like, would stumble upon a sheep, a cow.
That's
there
true.
Are animals.
Okay, there are animals he could have gotten. Maybe they've chased him off the roads before.
Right.
So now he's scared of the roads.
Well, there's cars and stuff, so
that's
I feel
true.
Like...
okay. Speaking of cars, that whole car crash bit, after... I mean, really? That
so,
was funny.
There
when
was...
they ran over the guy? I just kind of
so...
went, ooh!
No, I think that raises the bigger question. I like the juxtaposition of man-made violence
yeah.
and monster violence. Like,
yeah.
Where, like, to what extent are we the monsters? And at the beginning, Jack and David look straight down the lens and are like, he's right in front of us.
Yep.
Right on us. So it's like,
we're the werewolf.
Right. It's like society as a whole is the monster that's coming out and like...
And I wish I had been doing a body count during that car crash scene. Just, I mean, surely 6 people died from that fiasco. So it made me think, just because it went on so long and they showed the guy getting run over by the car, they showed people getting crushed by cars, they showed people going out the window. So I'm like, surely at least as many people that he has killed have now died in this. And it's almost like, okay, people would find this funny just because it's absurd. Mm-hmm. But this stuff happens. The werewolf does not happen. So I, like you said, I just thought it was interesting just comparing the two violences where it's like, okay, what bothers you?
Right. And that was all filmed on location.
Get out.
Mm-hmm.
That's cool.
Yep. Yeah. Filmed in Trafalgar Square. One of the last movies to be able to film there, I think. Huh. Or one of the, like, most recent. That's or cool. A handful. No, it's like panic induces utter anarchy and chaos.
Yeah. So I have OMG, no one panic written down. Because also, it kind of made me wonder, do that many people really rush to a crime scene?
I thought the same thing too, but I feel like now it's I mean, it's 20 years, but I feel like maybe it was more of a spectacle. Because, like,
maybe
they close the doors, it's at a porno theater, like, you think it might be a fight or something.
Yeah.
And you rush towards it. But yeah, I did think that was a little bit, like...
A bit much.
Not a bit much. I thought it overdid the whole, like, oh, we're gonna cause as much carnage as possible. We need all of the people in here.
Okay.
Like, we need everyone to bum rush.
I just thought, I mean, because I know rubbernecking is a thing,
mm-hmm.
you know, when people drive by a car crash, they turn and check it out, but I just thought, do this many people really, especially when there's a line of policemen, and once the sharpshooters get involved, just leave.
I think it's just absurd. No good can
come of you being there.
Right. Like, at that point, it's just pointing out the absurdism of it all.
That's true.
I will say, if one thing, I don't think this movie is a slice of life film.
No, I that think it is not.
Everything is heightened.
Yeah.
Which I thought was well done.
Mm-hmm.
The accents, everything was well.
Yeah, the accents were kind of wonky.
Well, apparently the Screen Actors Guild of Britain was issuing visas for everyone and only issued visas for John Landis, Rick Baker, and the guy who played David and Jack.
Oh.
But to get David and Jack, they were like, we have plenty of American actors living in London who are young. You need to hire them. And John Landis apparently reported that if they made him recast, he was going to change the title to An American Werewolf in Paris.
Well played.
So it is now An American Werewolf in London.
Well played.
So, and then, so there's this utter mass chaos, and then...
just ends.
Right.
Was that what you were going to say?
Yeah.
That surprised me. Because we did have to pause the movie for a bathroom break. And then Ashley said, it's almost over. And I thought, almost as in, you know, 20 minutes. That was 10, sub 10 minutes later. It just ended. Which I kind of liked.
Oh, I loved it.
It's... yeah, well, he's dead now. This is what we wanted. This is what we've been waiting for the entire movie. People have been telling him to kill himself, and now he's dead. And then I was kind of wondering, oh my gosh, are they going to show him killing himself? But they got around that nicely where he just had people shoot him. So he wasn't killing himself. Because I was wondering, when they were suggesting ways he could do that, I just kind of thought, how are they going to do that? But it was the gun. Just not one he was holding.
Right.
I thought that whole alleyway scene was gorgeous.
Yeah.
I need to get a long coat, man.
I know.
Just so glamorous.
No, I loved it. I thought there's no other way. And then Blue Moon over the credits again.
That
I
was like, good. Good soundtrack.
Yeah. I loved how that tied everything together.
I can't believe I didn't notice that they didn't all have murder at their time.
They all said mood.
I just thought every time a song came out, I just go, man, this is another good one.
So, all in all, you like this.
All in all, I did like this. Although I will say, just jumping back forward to something I had forgotten. Mm-hmm. The nurse.
Uh-huh. Alex.
Alex. When she goes, no, I'm a working girl, so don't expect much. And the girl has, I think it's a nice apartment. Certainly bigger than what I was expecting.
Yeah.
But, no, different times, different real estate market. Right. Then. But, I was expecting, like, a cramped little studio. It's like, why have we just been on a whole four-room tour? What the crap? But I guess she is working, like, 36-hour shifts at the hospital, so.
Apparently.
That. Yeah, apparently.
You do long shifts at a hospital.
That's true, you do. They don't do normal.
Right.
9 to 5. Shifts at a hospital. Guess that's right. And then she seemed to have the next day off. But.
So, all in all, we like this film.
Yeah, I really like this film.
Yeah.
It was a lot funnier than I was expecting.
Yeah.
A lot funnier.
No, it's definitely a good one. And it has some really great jokes.
It does. And some amazing special effects work. I can see why Edgar Wright likes this one, actually.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, even in the... just visually, like, cinematography and stuff, I can see why he likes this movie.
Yeah. No, this... American Werewolf in London definitely influenced a lot of films. Particularly right after and even today.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I think... I love this film. It's one of my favorites.
I like it a lot.
Yeah. So we definitely recommend that you see this film. Is there a particular clip or something that you feel like if you have to watch one clip of this movie?
I mean, I think obviously the transformation scene.
Mm-hmm.
You know, American Werewolf in London. Watch when he turns into a werewolf. Is it on YouTube? It's gotta be.
It is. Yeah.
Watch that. I mean, I think... the biggies to know here is just the special effects bits of it.
Mm-hmm.
If there's things you need to know.
Right. So if someone came up to you at a party and said, "Hey, oh hey, have you seen my favorite film in American Werewolf in London?" You would say, "I have. The special effects are amazing."
Yes.
Transformation, dude.
And then you can probably just waffle about that and just keep repeating how amazing it was, and they would believe it. And then so, Jack's deterioration.
Right.
I want to, like, look at all of them together on the same page. Just compare.
Mm-hmm.
Which I'm
I can get that about. Started. Okay.
Thank you.
So, we mentioned that you have to talk about the special effects.
Mm-hmm.
Do you think the special effects overshadow the rest of the film?
Not necessarily.
I mean, I personally...
I think they're definitely MVP of the film.
Mm-hmm.
I think we already know I didn't particularly like the lead actor.
Or the leading actress.
No. So, clearly, in my mind...
But the supporting performances actors were amazing. Yeah,
yes. I don't think the effects overshadowed everything. I think that you could make the argument that this storyline was for the special effects, but I don't... Mm-hmm. I mean, there still is, I think, enough of a storyline and a plot and enough suspense and,
mm-hmm.
in it with the whole mindset of his visions and things like that. I think there's enough to make the plot an equal player with the special effects.
Yeah.
So I don't think they completely steamrolled it. I think they were definitely MVP of the film.
Yeah.
I don't think that that's all there is to it.
Right. So you definitely have to talk about the special effects. Mm-hmm. I think the humor of the film.
Yes.
That it's definitely a black, like it's a dark comedy.
It's a dark comedy.
I think you have to talk about that.
Speaking of the humor, in the beginning scenes when they're just establishing, oh, Dave and Jack are friends.
Mm-hmm.
Do you know if that was ad-libbed, their little jokes, or was some of it ad-libbed?
I would assume that it was all written, because okay. I really like John Landis as a writer.
Because well, I was thinking that, okay, this does seem really natural, but at the same time, it also doesn't seem like a conversation two people would just have.
Yeah.
Which makes me think it was scripted.
Yeah.
But
I'm sure it was a combination or something. No, I thought it was very naturalistic, the humor. It came out of things. It wasn't, like, forced in to be yeah. like, oh, this is really scary, now here's a joke. Yada, yada, yada. I think another thing to talk about, and this is getting really in-depth, I really think if someone came up to you, you really only need to talk about the special effects and the humor.
Yeah.
I think if you want to get technical, you could also talk about the violence in the film mm-hmm. and how it's, how the sex and violence play out in this film. But I think that is a conversation that you need to have if both parties have seen the film.
Yes.
I wouldn't, that's jumping in the deep end. I think you need to start with Water Wings if you haven't seen this film yeah. and are trying to have a conversation.
Yeah. If you, this film really does not sound like your thing, don't try to start a conversation about the sex and violence in it.
No.
But if you have, go for it. I'm sure many papers have been written on the subject.
Oh, I'm sure. It seems like a very thesis-y play.
Yes.
Or a thesis-y movie.
Yes.
But yeah, so those are really the only things that you need to talk about with American Werewolf in London. It's relatively, I think it's an hour and a half max.
Yeah, it's 97 minutes.
Yeah, it's a quick one. So, yeah.
And it goes by quick.
Yeah, I just got bored during the sex scene.
Yeah, I did too.
I don't like kissing, so I'm very much like, bring back the werewolf tearing out their throats.
I just thought it was awkward. She was doing the whole kissy thing on his shoulder. What is that? What is that? I don't know. I think we were both uncomfortable during the sex scene. I just thought it moved a little slowly. Wasn't necessary. 10 minutes too long, and it was maybe 10 minutes and 30 seconds. So.
Same problem I have with Alien. I don't want to hear talky. I don't want rubbity buppity. I want to see an alien bite someone's head off. That's what I want to see. Yeah. So that's really all you need to talk about with this film. Mm-hmm.
I think you should watch this one, though.
I did, too.
It's on Amazon Instant. I think it was $4 if you don't have Prime. It's free if you do have Amazon Prime.
Yeah, I think it used to be on Netflix, but I'm not sure if it still is on Netflix.
Yeah, I don't know
if it's on Netflix. But I knew it used to be. But yeah, I would definitely recommend this. Mm-hmm. Also, check out the Tumblr. We'll post videos of yes. the key scenes.
Maybe some GIFs.
Maybe some GIFs, and definitely the transformation of Jack yes. throughout the movie.
Yeah.
His
deterioration, which I gotta say, hands down, my favorite thing in this film is Jack.
I did like Jack. That is An American Werewolf in London.
Yes.
On the 20th of October, yep. we'll be posting our next one, which is going to be one I haven't seen. Yeah. And that is going to be
Psycho by Alfred Hitchcock. Halloween episode, if you will.
Yeah.
I own that, so we will be watching Psycho for the next episode.
So I'm going to take a shower now.
Yeah.
So I. Right. Oh, joy.
All right. So this has been
You Haven't Seen.
I'm Debbie.
And I'm Ashley. And thank you guys so much for listening. We'll see you on the 20th.